Hello and welcome to another episode of IJS Speaks. This is your neighborhood financial economist, Katie Mark. And today is December 9th, 2020. It's about 6:48 in the morning, a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And let's talk about financial markets. So the first thing I like doing is taking a glance at the dashboard. And for those of you that aren't familiar, the dashboard consists of the US dollar index, US 10-year treasury, gold price or gold futures, S&P 500, S&P E-mini futures, and crude oil futures. And the idea behind it is just to get a big picture, a macro picture of what's happening in financial markets, and really try to gauge the directional flow of these five instruments or these five markets, and kind of use that as a sample size to gauge what's happening in the overall financial market universe, especially in terms of investor sentiment. So I like to phrase it or frame it in terms of risk on versus risk off. And for that, I look at risk assets versus safe haven assets. And based on the correlations I was looking at, the US dollar and the US 10-year treasury are trading like safe assets. Their correlations are positive. And the S&P gold and crude oil are trading as your risk assets. So the S&P, which has a strong negative correlation to the dollar, for the next few trading sessions anyway, that'll be the focus as the risk asset play. Simply because gold and crude oil, the correlations were not very strong. At one point I was looking at gold and crude oil in relation to the dollar, and the correlations were slightly positive. So it wasn't a high enough number that, it was convincing that those prices should move in most scenarios, with that relationship. So being that the correlations were so low or so weak, I'm gonna not try to include those related trades in the trade book. At least not while the correlations are so low. So the focus by default is on the dollar, the 10-year, and the S&P. So now, looking at the recent price pattern in the trade book, on the dashboard, the dollar index has been falling, and it looks like somewhere at the end of last week it may have hit an inflection point. So we could just see some short covering from the downward momentum that the dollar has been experiencing in the past couple weeks, or this could be something a little bit more fundamental. But it's only been about a week, actually even less, so it's hard to make that kind of a call. So all we're looking at right now is some form of reversal or retracing. Not even a reversal, some form of retracing, it looks like, with the dollar. But once the price can get back to and then above the recent high of the trading range, then we can consider it a full-on reversal. But at this point, it's just what we're seeing is a retracement in the dollar. So if the correlations hold with the dollar 10-year, we're also seeing we should also see a similar price action in the 10-year. Even though the inclination would be towards buying the dollar and selling the 10-year. So they're strong, they're positively correlated, so they both should be moving roughly in the same direction. It's just that the dollar should be moving more so in that direction than the 10-year. So the dollar leads, the 10-year follows, but they're moving in the same direction. And then the correlation with the S&P and the dollar is a strong negative, similarly with the 10-year, so they move in opposite directions. Now looking at the price on the S&P 500, it's been a one-way trade, at least as of recent. It's just been straight up. And there's a lot of momentum behind that trade. There probably aren't too many fundamental justifications for it. There may not even be too many technical justifications for it. But there's momentum behind the trade. So more than likely, it's an anticipation trade. Financial markets are basically looking through the period where COVID vaccines are being distributed, the period where we deal with the contentions of some people wanting to or refusing to get vaccinated, and we deal with the period where achieve herd immunity, where there's still a risk of people dying from coronavirus. So financial markets seem to be, at least in the S&P 500 universe anyway, seem to be looking past all of that stuff that is clearly ahead of us before we get to the point where the vaccines, you know, have effectively put the coronavirus in the rearview mirror. But we'll see how that plays out, because if there's any delay or stalls in the timeline, then this may weigh on investor sentiment, and we may see some kind of an unwinding, albeit short term, because more than likely it's just gonna in a couple days return to the upward movement. But I mean, the potential is there. It does seem like it's a bit of a one-way trade right now, and also ignoring all fundamental and some technical reasons why it shouldn't be doing what it's doing, it's just doing what it's doing. So, I mean, there's nothing to say it can't keep going higher. So, me personally, I've been maintaining my equity exposure. I know it's the end of the year. I'm not necessarily concerned about tax implications, because I'm not in the distribution phase of the portfolio. It's still in the accumulation phase, so I'm not necessarily concerned about tax implications. The goal is just to acquire as many positions as possible in this phase of the portfolio. So I'm actually contemplating adding to the equity position going into the end of the year, just because there seems to be a lot of optimism baked into closing out the books on 2020 and going into a new year in 2021. New administration in the United States, much better vaccine prospects. It just seems that the optimism is there. On any sign of good news, I'm expecting financial markets to just take off to the races. Any sign of bad news, I'm expecting financial markets to ignore it. So, long story short, global stocks seem like they have open skies above them. So if you're a momentum trader, the momentum is definitely behind you. And if you're a position trader, position and wait. Okay, so now we can look at the trade book. Honestly, I have not been actively trading in about a week or so. And that's one of the things that I appreciate about the short-term approach that I take with the derivative positions, which roll off the books at the end of each week, is that if I get distracted or if my time or my attention is required elsewhere, I don't have to split my focus between what I'm supposed to be doing and keeping track of what's on the trade book. The equity side of the portfolio has been passively benefiting from what the S&P has been doing in the interim that I have not been actively trading. So there's that. And plus two, in addition to just, you know, having some stuff that I had to get done, last week was not the best trading week ever. A lot of frustrations. The timing was weird. It was not a profitable trading week. It was just one of those weeks, you know? And I mean, it happens, right? Right? Happens to the best of us. Can't win them all. But that's last week. Going into the final stretch. Going into the final stretch for the year. I'm not necessarily interested in too much active trading, but I do anticipate that as trading volumes thin out as we go into the holiday season, that there will be potential for wild swings in market prices simply because markets are not very deep. There isn't a lot of volume. So prices can easily get pushed in one direction or another. So with that anticipation in mind, going into the final stretch of 2020, I'm basically going to take the same approach that I use typically with derivative positions, except in this case, I'm going to stagger them out. So to capture as much of the volatility around the end of the year and the start of the new year, I am looking at straddle or strangle positions on most of my big players. So the dollar, the 10-year, and the S&P as of now. And as we get closer, as correlations kind of tighten back up a little bit, I can also look at similar plays on crude oil and gold. But as of now, the goal is to just extend out instead of just 1 week, 2 weeks, and stagger them out. So 2 weeks. 2 weeks out from this week, a week from now, add another 2 weeks, and depending on how it goes, a week from now, add a position, add another 2 weeks. So that way, the position just staggered. Something rolls off the books every week, but at the same time, there's something on the books to participate in any last minute moves that you tend to see in at the end of some trading sessions, end of some trading weeks, stuff like that. So, but then going into the new year, especially around, you know, continuing news about vaccine production and availability, and, you know, eventually, you know, positive feedback about, you know, success rate in, or success rates in, you know, the general population, and positive feedbacks about, you know, no side effects and stuff like that, and, you know, fingers crossed anyway. That's my anticipation going into the startup next year. The the forecast, honestly, is really just for more dollar weakness. That seems to be the consensus. And as a matter of fact, that seems to be the institutional consensus. And large institutions tend to drive large and sustained money flows. So if that's what the right or wrong, if that's what the big players are thinking or expecting, and if that's what's influencing their investing and trading decisions, then everyone else needs to be cognizant of that. That doesn't mean that swing traders stop looking for opportunities, because nothing moves up or down in a straight line. So there's always going to be opportunities for retracements, pullbacks, and reversals, full-on reversals. So it's a swing traders market, I guess. Unless you're trading equities, and then it's a position traders market. Okay, that's the forecast. All right, and on that note, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can always contact me at contact@runthenumbers.biz. It's contact@runthenumbers.biz. And I look forward to hearing from you. Profitable trading.